Vesuvius podcast. I am your host, Marco Cubani D'Onofrio, and unfortunately, I have the dubious task of doing a podcast following Napoli's first loss of the season. I am, of course, talking about the Europa League second match of the group stage against Spartak Moscow. And after such a promising, start that sees Elmas give Napoli the lead within, 11 seconds? Mario Rui is sent off with a red card in the 30th minute. And from there, it is all downhill from Napoli as Quincy Promise scores two, one in the 55th and one in the 90th. And Mikhail Ignatov scored in the 80th minute to give Spartak Moscow the 3-2 win. Victor Osimhen did score in the 94th minute to give one goal back for the good guys, but it was not enough on the day, and Napoli unfortunately falls for the first time under Luciano Spalletti. And of course, I'm not talking about the Benevento friendly, because to me that meant nothing. And as much as it sucked to see Napoli lose, especially after going up 1-0 and seeing Liga Warsaw also win, so now Napoli's 5 points behind the group leaders, as much as that sucks, there was some promise to this game. And if you're going to lose a game, I think this is the way you got to do it. I mean, you never want to lose, period. But if you are going to lose a game, I mean, Napoli was down a man for the majority of this contest, so I don't want to make excuses, but that does hurt. And then, of course, we saw some rotation, which I was completely fine with, and I'm still fine with despite the result, because I think you need rotation, especially with Fiorentina coming up, and we'll talk about that as well as we preview that game a little bit. But just in case you didn't know or you weren't aware, Petagna got the start up top instead of Osimhen. Elmas got the start in the midfield alongside Zielinski and Ruiz. That was a little bit interesting, you know, to see what that would look like and the makeup of that midfield. Politano got the start up top as well, which surprised me a little bit because I thought we would see Lozano. And I think that means that we will definitely see Lozano on Sunday. So I'm okay with that. And of course, we also saw Manolas back in the lineup as well as Meret back in the lineup as well. So on that note, I think it's important that Napoli is rotating. I'm completely fine with that. I think it was important to give, you know, the machine that has been the Zambo, Guisa, a little bit of a break and give him the day off as well. He did see some time later on in the second half, but at least he didn't have to play the entire game again. And I think that's very important. Same thing with Osimhen. I didn't want to see him play another, you know, 80 minutes. I think it's important that he gets some rest as well. He did come in right after the break, so that was interesting. And, you know, he made an immediate impact as well. But when you're down a man, there's only so much you can do. We still have not seen Dries Mertens hit the pitch yet, so that'll be interesting to see his return. But, I mean, this team has so much depth, and you got to take advantage of that depth if you want to succeed in multiple competitions. And yes, right now it does not look good in the Europa League, but there's still 4 games in the group stage to go. Napoli is very capable of winning all 4 of those games. I mean, it will not be easy going to Russia. It will not be easy going to Poland. But they have Leicester City at home, and Leicester also lost yesterday, as I mentioned, on Thursday. I'm recording this Friday morning. They also lost on Thursday as well. So there's just a lot of interesting things happening in this group, and it's far too early to come to any conclusions. I mean, Napoli will definitely need to get their stuff together if they have any chance of winning, but overall, I don't think we need to be too pessimistic. I think when you look at the Serie A table and you realize Napoli have won 6 straight games, I think that has to be the focus regardless. Not saying that we need to punt the Europa League, because like I mentioned, I think this is a deep enough team, and at Cubani 7, at Far From Vesuvius, get at us. Sorry, not at Cubani 7, at Cubani _, at Cubani 7 is banned from Twitter. But get at us, at Far From Vesuvius. Let us know what you're thinking of this team, what you thought of the game, what you thought of the makeup, what you thought of Spalletti's decisions in the game, and, you know, whether you approved or you didn't approve. Not that it really matters in the end, but I am curious to hear what the fan base thought of yesterday's result, or Thursday's result in the Europa League. But again, when you look at the table, and you look at what Napoli's done in the Serie A with 6 straight wins, coming into a massive game in Florence on Sunday, I think that's where the focus has to lie, and that's where the priority has to be. And I think that's what Spalletti showed yesterday, that that's not where his head was at on in the Europa League, but he did have an eye to that. And I think that's fair, especially, again, with the successful results you've had. Keep in mind, Fiorentina's also been off all week. So they're going to be fully rested. They've looked really good to start the season as well. So that's not an easy match by any means. You want to be prepared. So I'm okay with the rotation. I'm a little frustrated with the result. I don't think Napoli played the greatest, but I also think there is a lot of positives to take from it. And I also think there's something to learn from losing. And I think it is important that sometimes you do stumble, you know, sometimes you do stub your toe. Sometimes you aren't the most successful on the pitch. And if you're able to respond, which I think this team really is able to do, then we'll go from there. I also want to shout out Lorenzo Insigne. He did start. He was taken off before halftime. I believe it was in the 40th minute or so when after Mario Rui's red card, he was taken off to kind of give a little bit more balance to the game, and Malcui came in. And Insigne, as a true captain, you know, he didn't complain, he didn't bitch, he clapped and encouraged his teammates and said, let's go and try to win this game. Obviously, that didn't happen. But I do think it shows the maturity of Insigne. And that's one thing I wanted to highlight, really, is that we saw it last year as well under Gattuso. I think this year even more so under Spalletti, the maturity of Insigne and how much he's actually grown, not just, you know, as a player on the pitch, but as a captain and as a leader on this team. And I really do think coming out of that Euro 2020 experience, you know, winning a major tournament, winning a major trophy at an international level with some of the guys who were on the team with him, I think showed him a lot, you know. And as much as Chiellini and Bonucci and these guys are not very, you know, likable, is one way to describe, especially if you're a Napoli fan, they are true leaders. And I think Insigne did learn from them, to be honest with you. I think he learned how to help lead and guide the ship a little bit from them during this experience. And we're seeing that, and we're seeing the result. And I think Napoli desperately needed that. And alongside, you know, the likes of Koulibaly and Commanders in that locker room, this is a team that I really do think has a lot of potential. I don't want to get too excited too early. You know, there's already talk of a Scudetto and this and that. And listen, let's not forget, Sarri's Napoli had won their first six, I believe their first seven, not more, games as well in his final season with this team, when Napoli probably should have won a Scudetto. And, you know, as much as... yeah, let's not harp on that. But again, that goes back to Fiorentina, right? I mean, we all know about that Koulibaly red card and the Scudetto that was lost in the hotel in Florence. Well, this is Napoli's chance to try to prove that this is a team that can contend. If they can go into Florence and walk away with 3 points from a very good Viola side and go into this international break, 7 games, 7 wins in the Serie A, I don't think there's a fan on the planet who can complain or say a word, regardless of the Europa League results. Because if I had come into this season and offered you 7 straight wins to kick off the campaign with games that included, you know, a visit from Juventus, an away trip to Florence, you would have taken that in a heartbeat. And even an away trip to Udine. Let's not forget, Udine took 2 points off of Juve, right? So, I mean, this has not been an easy schedule. I mean, they also have to go to Sampdoria on a short week. You know, you played Monday in Udine, you played Thursday in Sampdoria, and they got two wins, two big results. Didn't even look like they were stressed. And then at home against Cagliari, which could have been an easy letdown game, it wasn't. It wasn't the most exciting game, but they came away with a 2-1 win. Or sorry, 2-0 win, and it's all that matters. So, again, when you look at this team and you look at where they're going, I think the projection is positive, and I think fans need to stay excited and need to be invested in this club. Again, at Kubani underscore at Far from Vesuvius, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know how you're feeling. We're going to try to get as much content out as possible, whether it's pre-game, mid-game, post-game. I know Ken had the watch-along on Twitch, so if you're watching this game live, why not watch it with Ken or one of us if you can? We got the Twitch stuff going up as well, so we're trying to provide you all kinds of great content. You know, you got the Raff and Raff rant as well. Make sure you're checking that out, because that's some really cool stuff, and those two guys are working their asses off to produce amazing content. So, listen, it's an exciting time to be a Napoli fan. Soak it in while we can. Again, I know it sucks that, you know, I'm recording this podcast and we're talking about a loss, but all things considered, Napoli fans, I think we have to be excited. I mean, we can talk about Osman scoring again yesterday. And yeah, it was just a simple tap in, but the guy can't stop finding the back of the net right now. And it's scary to think about how good he can be. And again, like I mentioned earlier, Mertens isn't even back on the pitch yet. This is a team that has so much quality that really we haven't even missed Mertens. Or, you know, last year, a couple years ago, if Mertens was gone, it was a noticeable absence. So that'll be interesting. And again, you know, you got to try to rack up as many points as you can early in this campaign because the Africa Cup of Nations is coming. You know, it's almost like winter is coming where you know that that's down the line. And as much as you'd like not to think about it, there is going to be a point in time when, you know, Koulibaly is gone playing internationally, when the Zambo Anguissa is gone playing internationally, when our superstar striker is gone playing internationally. And this is during a very busy January month. So it'll be very, very interesting to keep an eye on all this stuff. But you need to pick up as many points as you can right now. And so when I'm looking at the Europa League, yes, it's important that Napoli gets out of the group stage. And I think they still can and they still should. I don't think it's impossible. And I don't even think it's unlikely. I think they're still very likely to get through. I mean, maybe that's just me being an optimist, but it's still far too early with four games left to go to think that this team's not going to get out of the group. And yeah, Warsaw has 6 points, Napoli has one, but Napoli hasn't even played them yet. You know, if you pull off back-to-back wins against them, all of a sudden you're past them. So I don't want to speak too much about the Europa League yet because I think there's still a lot to unfold. I do think right now, like I mentioned, the priority is racking up as many points in Serie A as possible right now, early, while you can and while you're rolling. And especially looking down the road, like I mentioned, the Africa Cup of Nations, you're going to stumble at some point in time. And so you want to be prepared when you do that you've got a little bit of a nest egg. You've got a little bit of a bank. And I'm not just talking about the Scudetto because, yeah, the Scudetto is obviously the dream. And I don't even know if we should be using that word yet because it's still far too early for that as well. But coming into this campaign, the minimum was a Champions League berth. You got to get into the Champions League. And for you to do that, you've got to finish top four. Yes, you can win the Europa League, absolutely. But realistically, what is the more likely chance? Napoli finishing top four or Napoli winning the Europa League? You know, and I don't think they need to choose, and I'm not saying they should choose. And I think, again, I keep mentioning the depth of this squad, the quality of this squad. It's easily the deepest squad we've had in the De Laurentiis era, unquestionably. I mean, hit me up on Twitter, hit me up any way you want if you believe otherwise, but I don't think there's a debate in that. So when you look at that situation and you look at this team that's at Spalletti's disposal, and Spalletti seems like a very pragmatic coach, you know, he's a reasonable man who's done well so far. So I think we need to just kind of take a deep breath, look back and say, hey, you know what, all is not necessarily lost. Yes, it sucks Napoli lost in the Europa League, but again, if Napoli pulls off a win against the Viola on Sundays, anybody even talking about Thursday's game? You know, especially when you consider Mario Rui was sent off the pitch in the 30th minute. And I'm not going to get into that decision because some people think, oh, Napoli got screwed. Either way, it was a silly tackle. It was an unnecessary tackle. And, you know, he was sent off the pitch as a result. I mean, Napoli were actually lucky that, not lucky because it should never have been a penalty call in the first place, but VAR also reversed a penalty in the game as well that would have gone to Spartak Moscow. So, I mean, it's easy to look at officiating and say, oh, they screwed this and they screwed that, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. You're not always going to get the calls on the pitch. And we can't just sit back and bitch all the time and complain we're not getting the calls our way. And on Sunday against the Viola, we don't know what we're going to see on the pitch in terms of the officiating. But you've got to go out there and do your job. And when you're dominating a game like they have in the past, and like we've seen in recent weeks, especially in Serie A, then there's no reason to even get the officiating involved, right? If you're doing your due diligence and you're doing your job on the pitch, what does it matter what the ref does? And of course, I mean, refs can always influence games. They can always ruin games. I mean, look what happened with Milan and Atletico in the Champions League midweek, right? I don't even want to get involved in that. But it happens, and I get that. But you can't worry about that, and you can't focus on officiating errors or potentially officiating errors. You've got to go out there and do your job and win a game. And so that's what I'm hoping on Sunday, we see a hungry Napoli side that's able to put this loss in the rear view. And that's going to be an interesting thing to see if this team has mentally matured enough to be able to do that, right? I mean, we've seen so often this club gets into lapses. They lose one game, they get into a little bit of a slump, you know, they draw a couple others in a row, and then, okay, now we win four in a row, or you win five in a row. But it should never be like that. You can't be as hot and cold as that if you're going to be a consistent threat for a Scudetto. You just can't. And so Napoli has to show that they're capable of rebounding and getting a result against a good Fiorentina side on the road. Would I take a draw on Sunday? I mean, I wouldn't be devastated if it happened. I don't think anybody should, but I don't think that's going to be the goal, and I don't think anybody should be satisfied with that. This is a team that is hungry and capable, more than capable, of winning. And that's got to be the goal, 3 points consistently. Again, the international break follows it, so it would be amazing if you could kind of build that momentum, pick up a 7th straight win in the league, and then take a couple-week break, you know? And, you know, whoever will go wherever they will go in terms of the international stars. But at least they go on their break with a commanding, I don't want to say a commanding 21 points because Milan's been right up there as well. Credit to them. They've looked good so far this year. I mean, Inter stumbled along the way, but they're not going anywhere. They're still at the top. Napoli still has a 10-point lead over Juve. Maybe they can expedite that or what's the word I'm looking for here? Expand that, increase that gap. Who knows? But again, I think there's a lot of exciting things to be looking forward to here. And I don't think Napoli fans should get too down in the gutter after a Europa League loss. I would be more heartbroken. I would be more pessimistic. I'd be more concerned if Napoli fails to pick up 3 points or even 1 point against the Viola. So I think that's where everyone's head's at right now. And we will talk again, of course. We will provide you tons of content when it comes to all things Napoli, Far From Vesuvius. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. Make sure you're interacting with us because, again, what makes this so great and what I love about Napoli Calcio is the Twitter community is incredible. I'm going to shout out the Napoli Club of Toronto who have been doing some amazing things in Toronto, in my local town. They've been working their butts off, so I'll shout out them as well, you know. Lots of great content creators out there. Lots of great stuff happening. So it's an exciting time to be a Napoli fan. Thank you for sticking with us at Far From Vesuvius. Thank you for tuning into this podcast. Thank you for watching our stuff. Thank you for interacting with us. Thank you for all that good stuff. And again, I'm personally at Kubani _ at Far From Vesuvius is the crew. We love you. We love Napoli. Forza Napoli Sempre. I'm out of here. Peace.
Scriva sempre, stai contenta, io non penso che a te sola, nuovo pensiero,
tanti giocatori in area per attaccare questa palla.
Rachmani, Anghissà, Rachmani, cerca di uscire dal cono d'ombra, Zielinski, e si offre per ricevere il pallone, messo in mezzo per Osimhen! Uomo on fire! L'abbraccio all'urlo del Diego Armando Maradona, la sblocca ancora lui, la sblocca Osimhen.
Non scatta la trappola del fuorigioco del Cagliari, bellissima la palla in profondità di Anghissà, bravo Zielinski al momento giusto a metterla subito dentro, e Osimhen come un falco mette dentro questa palla, grandissimo l'attaccante che attacca.
Lorenzo Insigne contro Cragno. Potente centrale, apre le braccia, Lorenzo Insigne, eccola la spallata al match.
Sì, rigore sicuro da parte di Insigne dell'esterno, il capitano la mette dentro alle spalle di Cragno.
Bacio alla camera, se ho letto bene il labiale è tuo amore. Potente centrale, 2-0, Napoli.
Non è mai più bello. Oh,
Okay, tifosi, I have a very special guest with us here. He's representing Fiorentina in our latest edition of Frenemies. He's our newest frenemy. He is a Fiorentina-loving writer, and he works for Football Italia. Please welcome Giancarlo Rinaldi. Giancarlo, thank you for joining us on such short notice. I appreciate it.
It's no problem at all. It's always a pleasure to talk Fiorentina.
Yes, and it's a pleasure to be watching Fiorentina lately. They're doing some really good stuff, I think, over there. You know, we're getting ready for this match on the weekend. It's a lot of people say it's Napoli's first real test of the season. You know, I know we beat Juventus 2-1, but, you know, you can argue that the squad was a bit depleted with the South American contingency not being able to play. It was at the Maradona, and, you know, just things hadn't been going too well for Juventus. But, you know, this could be the first true test for Spalletti and Napoli's men. How are you liking the season so far with Fiorentina?
Well, it's been fantastic. After 5 years, certainly 3 years of misery, this is a pleasant surprise. Even the games that Fiorentina have lost to Roma and to Inter, they've played pretty well. So, you know, really, it's been a surprise to me, certainly, the effect that Vincenzo Italiano's had on the squad so quickly, because, you know, there's not really been a lot of big name additions to it. It's pretty much, you know, the same as it was, but he's got a real good reaction out of all the players. And I think what's really been pleasing is that they've been exciting to watch. They've been attacking team to watch. I think this weekend will be a real test in terms of, I don't think there are many teams can play out from the back better than Napoli. Fiorentina tend to try a really hard press, a high press, and it's worked pretty well for them so far. But I think this is going to be a real acid test of just how good they are at that, because, as I say, Napoli's kind of got that playing out from the back in their DNA, going back to Sarri times, really. And you know, I think if Fiorentina can put Napoli under pressure, that's a real mark of how far they've come as a team in a really short space of time. But yeah, it's been really good so far. Obviously, we've got Dusan Vlahovic doing what he does, scoring goals, and I think Nico Gonzalez has been a real good addition to the side. He wasn't a player I knew a lot about before he came, but he's really slotted in well. And apart from a sarcastic round of applause to the referee, he's done really well. He's been a really refreshing addition, and I think his attitude, it reminds me, it's reminiscent of Federico Chiesa. He's got a real get up and go attitude, runs at players, never gives them a minute's peace. And I think he's one of the most fouled players in Serie A, which really tells you all you need to know about how defences fear him. So, you know, if you can shut him down, then you've shut down a fair bit of Fiorentina's attacking threat. But he's been really good, and as I say, certainly in an attacking sense, Fiorentina have looked pretty good, and it's been a lot more fun to watch them this season than in recent times.
9 goals, 4 in the season, also 9 against. The attacking has been pretty magnificent, if you ask me. Let's talk a minute about, because I know you touched on Nico Gonzalez coming in. I want to get into some of the transfers that came in, some of the changes that were made. But let's start with Vincenzo Italiano, who was with Spezia last season. We all saw what he could do with Spezia with a team like them. But it wasn't always Italiano, was it, Giancarlo?
No.
Our very own Gennaro Gattuso was the first man for the job. That didn't work out. Can you shed a little bit of light on as to why that didn't work out? The project didn't work out. Like if you ask a Napoli fan, oh, okay, he left because the project didn't suit him, or they just didn't get along, or whatever. It was him and the board. But if you ask me, bringing in guys like Nico Gonzalez, you know, Nastasic, Torreira, Lucas Torreira back in, Odriozola too from Real Madrid. I mean, the team has only gotten better. And, you know, a familiar face like Callejon is playing a lot more these days too. Why didn't it work with Gattuso? And I mean, you know, can you shed some light on that? And how happy have you been with Italiano so far?
Well, I mean, with all these things, there's two sides to every story, certainly. But from day one, I think Gattuso's body language, the way he looked, he didn't look like a happy man. Even from what you can take from these sort of presentation pictures, which are always a bit stage managed anyway, you know, there was always a look in his eye as if, you know, I'm doing this under duress. So, you know, what was going on in the background, I don't know. But the kind of the version that certainly seemed to come out from Fiorentina was that he wanted them to sign certain players that they weren't happy signing. Now, how they got to the stage of getting a coach in when they hadn't discussed this already is anybody's guess, really. You know, I mean, it doesn't smack of great professionalism on either side, really. That, you know, you would think that would be a discussion you would have long before you'd sign a deal and sign a coach, you know. So that was certainly the way it was portrayed. Gattuso, of course, denied that he wanted, but, and you know, as you said, they did bring in some good players afterwards, but I think the suggestion was that the players were all to come from a certain agent, and you know, and the prices that they were talking as well were pretty big prices that for these players that were allegedly going to come in. Now, whether Fiorentina balked at that, wouldn't give Gattuso the players he wanted. Obviously, if you're a manager, you come in, you want the best tools to do the job. He felt he wasn't going to get them at Fiorentina. So in the end, you know, it has all worked out for the best, certainly, because the Italianos come in, as I say, not a coach that I followed particularly closely. I knew he was a good coach. I knew he was building up a strong reputation. But he's come out of the blocks fast in Florence. I mean, I think the one slight worry is that, you know, it looks a very intensive style. It looks high energy and it looks very demanding. So how sustainable it is over a whole season, I don't know. But certainly, you know, Fiorentina fans have suffered a pretty long time of pretty drab football. And so to see this has been great. And certainly, I don't think you'll find anybody in Florence just now saying, oh, I wish we'd kept Torino Gattuso.
Yeah, absolutely not. No. You know, what a great start. You know, a tough loss to Milan in the first match. You won your next three, which is hadn't happened in quite a bit. I don't know the exact stat, but you hadn't won three in a row in quite a long time. Then you stumble against Inter after playing really great. You know, I feel like Fiorentina deserves something in that match. So heads not down because you come back and beat Udinese 1-0. And here we are, 12 points on six matches, fifth place currently. And this is a real chance for Fiorentina to show who they really are. A win against Napoli, who are undefeated, you know, puts them right in Scudetto contention, honestly. If you ask me, Fiorentina has always had the talent to take the next step. That, like, they finished in recent seasons, they finished subpar. Lower than I've expected them to finish. I've always kind of had them top of the, you know, top half of the table, contending for Europa or whatever. It just couldn't get it right, whether it was Montella or whether it was Prandelli coming back in or what have you. Italiano's got them really focused. So how do you see them approaching this match? because you got Callejon, who knows how they play. You know, and you could argue that Spalletti's a new manager, he's in, and you know, Callejon doesn't really know, you know, Spalletti as well as he knew Gattuso and previous. But this is the same core of players that he played with. So I'm sure he's got some tips in the back for some of these guys. Vlahovic on 4 goals, him and Osimhen, two of the best, you know, out-and-out strikers in the league right now. How do you see this playing out for Fiorentina on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think I hinted at it earlier that a lot will depend on who can take the initiative. And in Fiorentina, certainly in the games where they've played best, they've hemmed in their opponents. They've really got in their face. They've really put them under pressure. I think that will be very difficult against Napoli, because I see Napoli as a side that can cope with that and then hurt you in the space that you leave in behind. So, I mean, I think from the neutral's point of view, it'll be a brilliant game. You know, it'll be very entertaining. For you and I, it might be a more difficult game because, you know, one of us is going to suffer. I think we might both suffer because I think Fiorentina have the tools to unlock Napoli's defence. But in the same way, you know, your boys have caused us a lot of heartache in recent times. Insigne, Mertens, you know, they all know how to get past the Fiorentina defence, and it's a defence that's still a bit of a work in progress. It's still, you know, it's been chopped and changed quite a lot. I don't think there's been the same two centre backs for two, or certainly not three games in a row. You know, I think Milenkovic is a kind of solid block there, but we've kind of chopped and changed who's played alongside him, and you know that obviously Napoli's got attacking threat that can easily break that down. So I think, as I say, I think, you know, if you're somebody that doesn't watch much Serie A, this is a game to watch. This will be a I mean, I say all of this, it'll probably finish 0-0, but you know, I think this will be an advertisement for all the excitement that Serie A can offer. For us as fans, though, I think it could be harder watching, because I think there'll be chances at both ends and a fair few goals, and somebody might end up having a quite a sad evening after the game's over. But looking forward to it, I think probably Napoli fans too, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to be an exciting game. I think going to be entertaining. You've got a lot of, as you've mentioned, a lot of attacking threat in both sides. So, you know, that bodes well for a very exciting game.
Another added aspect to the match is that Napoli just lost their first match of the season in the Europa League against Spartak Moscow. So, you know, as if it wasn't already the first, quote unquote, first test of the season, now we have to see how Napoli respond after losing a match. A lot of people feel like after, if this was a Gattuso team or, you know, any other previous team, the mentality would be to put your head down and kind of, you know, sulk and start losing from here on out. It certainly happened last season. It's happened in seasons past. But this does seem like a different Napoli to me. I think they respond well, but this is going to be a very hotly contested match. Do you want to grace us with a prediction, Giancarlo, or do you feel like you're going to leave it just for us to watch?
Well, I mean, you know, leave it. Well, you know, you've got me. You've bothered to get me on. Let me have the courage and see. I'd say a draw, a high scoring draw, maybe 2-2 draw, maybe a 2-2 draw. I think could be what comes out of that. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I'd be very happy if that was what we got out of it, because, you know, Napoli's been a team at the top end of Serie A for some time, whereas Fiorentina, although that's where they aspire to, and historically that's where they think they should be, you know, the last few seasons they haven't been there at all. So, you know, a goal heavy draw against one of the upper teams in Serie A would be quite welcome, I think. So let's see, if I'm making a prediction, get your baits on a 2-2 draw.
You know, I wouldn't be too upset with that. Fiorentina, honestly, I have to admit, and I don't know how the Napolitani tifosi that listen to us will take to this, but Fiorentina have always been a team that I've always had my eye on. I always kind of kept out for, had a kind of an admiration for. Also, Zio Rocco Commisso is a family friend of ours. So he's the ex-husband of a very close family friend. And he helped us get tickets to when they came here against Benfica a couple of seasons ago when he first became the owner. And my father got to hang with him in the Bronx when he came, and it was a whole spectacle. So even now, more than ever, is more of a reason to sort of keep an eye out for Fiorentina. And I always wish them well. So I wish you well, Giancarlo. I wish you well for the rest of the season. I want to say thank you so much for coming on and having a couple of minutes to hang with us and talk with us about Napoli. And I really do admire your work, too, on Football Italia. Why don't you go ahead and let us know where we can find you on social media?
Well, thank you very much for that. I was just going to say, I've always liked watching Napoli, going back to Maradona times as well. And I think we all feel a bit of a bond as kind of outsiders to the truly big guns, to the Juventus and Inter and Milan. So there's always a kind of a camaraderie, I think, between teams that are trying to shoot down the big guns a bit. I'm on, you'll find my work on the Football Italia website. I've been doing that since, I've been writing for Football Italia, certainly magazine, since the mid-1990s. So, you know, I realise now that I've actually been writing about Italian football. Sometimes I was writing about it before people who are listening now were born, which is quite a scary.
That's amazing.
So you can find me on, as I say, on the Football Italia website, write quite regularly there. And if you want to interact at all on Twitter, I'm always happy to share opinions, disagree, whatever. And I'm Jinkers on there, Ginkers, and you'll find me there, as I say, and you'll usually find me either delighted or depressed after a Fiorentina game.
Well, awesome. Very cool talking to you, Giancarlo. And again, I hope for the best for you and Fiorentina for the rest of the season. And maybe we have you back on when we play against each other once again.
That would be brilliant.
All right. Thank you so much. Also, just so you know, my prediction, I gave a prediction, a 1 through 20 on Serie A on the table this season after the Mercato was over, and I had you guys finishing in fifth place. So hopefully we get to you in fifth place.
That would be lovely.
Because I'm right. As right now, I'm correct in my prediction. Let's draw on Sunday to keep you right there. How about that?
Perfect. That's perfect.
All right. Thank you again, Giancarlo.
No problem. Thank you. Ciao.